Morning, everyone, and welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. How are we doing? Good, good. When the arts and crafts was announced behind me, there was a big gasp. What? So something good's going on there. There we go. Welcome. Raise your hand if you need our Bible this morning, and our usher will gladly get one to you. And if you don't have one, you can keep it. So just pop the hand up if you need a Bible. That was a wave, not a hand. Okay. No, all good. All good. So yesterday morning, we had the Band of Brothers. Yeah. Woo! It was a very good time. And the Watered Women. Okay, there we go. We got it going. The Watered Women did well. I had to do that because Christina said, Watered Women isn't coming up. We want a whoosh. So you got your whoosh in. But it was two really beautiful times of fellowship. Got to hear from our brothers Mike and Ernie in the morning. And Sharon Hull from Calvary Chapel Jacksonville was with us sharing with the ladies. It was a really beautiful time. So we praise the Lord for that. Another area to give praise that we should continue praising for is the India trip with Pastor David and Dan. And this is my PSA to remind us to continue praying for all of those seeds that were planted on that trip. A lot of teachings went down and our prayers were heard in that taking place. And he's back and Dan's back safely and we rejoice in that. And now's the time to tarry in prayer for the seeds planted. For each person, the pastors, the flocks that they oversee, keep that in prayer. And speaking of prayers, I can't thank this body of believers enough for your prayers for our family during this time. It is just a blessing and gift. This is a body that prays, and we cherish your prayers. And there's no better place to be right now than in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters. So thank you again for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for being able to be in your house, Lord. Father, help us to not take that for granted. Help us to not take for granted the day at hand that we have, Lord. Thank you for sustaining our breath through the night. Thank you for bringing us into your house to gather with brothers and sisters we love, and Lord, to come before you in your throne room, who we love the most, to learn about you, to hear from you, to grow in you. Lord, I ask that as we prepare to go into your word, Lord, help every single one of us, Father God, to lay aside whatever's in the way. Lord, if it's pride, if it's fear, if it's worry, if it's control, if it's doubt, if it's chaos and trials and tribulations, if it's sadness, if it's unknowns, Lord, you know the hearts in this place. But we ask, Father, that you help us to lay it aside. That, Lord, right now we would just have our eyes focused on you. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for us this day, Lord Jesus. That, Father God, we embrace your conviction. We embrace what you speak to us unto renewal. Please, Lord Jesus. And Father, for those who don't know you unto salvation, for those who have strayed unto saying, Lord, I'm coming back. Father, we thank you. Be with us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So we continue on in Acts. And where we were last, were Peter's sermon after he heals this lame man. And last time when we gathered, we talked about the bold Holy Spirit-filled preaching that's taking place. And in that boldness, we see him confront the sin. In that boldness, we see the call for repentance because judgment is going to come. Judgment is a reality that is inevitable. We saw last time that the word of God can't be contained. They want to try to contain. Remember, they laid hands to take them in custody. Same way they came and laid hands on our Savior. And guess what? He told, in the world, you're going to have persecution. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we saw when our Savior was taken to the garden, what did Peter do then? The ear cut off. But right now, what is Peter doing? Surrendering and trusting. Because when he's filled with the Spirit, he doesn't have to take it into his own hands. He's holding on to the Lord God Almighty. The numbers now at this time, we know that it's 5,000, 2,000 more added. And it reminded us last time we gathered, the Lord builds his church. It's not a system. It's not a course that we take. It's not a program that says do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and your church will grow. No, spirit-led, spirit-filled, obedience. is what then lets the Lord have his way. The charge last time we gathered was seek him more, obey him more, trust him more. And as we look at those three things, I have some questions for you, body. What's your intimacy with Jesus like? What's your intimacy with Jesus like? Where is he asking you to surrender? Where is he asking you to trust him more? Do you live with an eternal mindset? Is it about eternity? Do you pray? What's your life of prayer like? Are you gathering to pray? Saints, as we go through Acts, we get this foundation, the early church. It's like that old JCPenney back to basic cell they did way back in the day, way back. Before my day, I think. And when we look at that, we realize as we go through this, it's not about some big program. It's not about some big trainings. It's not about this budget and all of these details. Because if we look at it, guess what? It's just a bunch of jailed Holy Spirit lovers going forth with the gospel, seeking his filling afresh to be obedient. So we go onward this morning, and we're going to be in Acts. I'm so used to John because that was what we're doing. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to be going on, and we're going to see obedience, being obedient to Jesus is going to lead to persecution, to trials. And guess what? We're reminded obedience to Jesus, obedience to our King has a cost. And that cost starts with daily surrender. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And perhaps you're sitting there and you realize, well, I've actually have some compromise. There's some areas where I'm actually exchanging right now. I'm not just sold out, all in. And then the reality, not the possibility, of persecution, are you prepping? And I think we forget when we say that. Prepping isn't collecting a bunch of goods and having a spot that you're going to be safe and we build our little shelter and everybody comes. Prepping, if you want to prep for the persecution to come, go buy some knee pads and get on your knees in prayer. You're good to go. But truly, that's where we have to go. So the title of today's message is Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. And it's I share this time to time, but it's always fascinating the way the Lord works on these things, because I send the title to Stuff to Know, and then Ashlyn prayerfully makes an image, and this morning as I'm uploading, I was like, oh, I didn't look at it. What is it? And I was in awe to see where the Lord's leading with this message, and then to see the image of the road, and I was like, whoa, okay, Lord, you planned it, because we didn't talk. But it's funny, because we're going to talk about the fact we're all on a road. Every single one of us is on a road. And the road that we're all on dead ends with us either with Jesus forever or without him forever. And on this journey, on this road, we need AAA. AAA. Can we get AAA up? Remember AAA? They're still around. We need AAA. And when we look at AAA, we need to realize that there is an adversary. There is an answer that goes forth to that adversary. And then there is an action that takes place. In our text today, we're going to see an adversary to Peter and John. We're going to see an answer from Peter and John and an answer from the adversaries. And we're going to see an action from Peter and John and an action from the adversaries. We have to realize something, saints. We all face adversity. And we have to face that adversity with answers in Christ. And we need to respond with actions in Christ. So when you think about it, how's your AAA membership doing? That's something to think about this morning. Is it in action with Christ, or is it expired and in the hands of the enemy? Because you're defeated. You're knocked down. Because we've got to remember something. You can't stop God. And he will not stop his eternal plan and the plan of redemption. It will not stop. The rapture will take place. The great tribulation will take place. The eternal kingdom will take place. Yet oftentimes our answers and our actions to adversity really show us the consistency of our relationship with him. Because we know we have an adversary, right? Roaring about like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Remember, there's one enemy. That's what we need to remember with the whole counsel of the word of God. There's one enemy. We sometimes spend too much time making all these different people the enemies. There's one enemy. So as we think of that, where are you this morning? And are you ready to embrace whatever convictions, whatever the Lord lays on your heart? Can you allow your heart, mind, and soul to just be focused on him right now as we go into his word? So saints, please stand with me, and we are going to read all together Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. We'll just start with that, verses 5 through 12. Stand to give our undivided attention to the word of God, reading together. We read, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father God, we ask you to be with us as we delve into this passage. Father God, I ask that you remove me. Lord, I ask that you remove distractions. I ask that you focus my heart, soul, mind, and my strength be in Christ alone, and you give me the words for your people to minister to them, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask that you till the soil of the heart, mind, and soul of every single one of us here to receive the manna which you have for us this day. Teach us, Lord, convict us, and lead us. Empower us through your Spirit. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we see here, it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So this is the next day. We know the trial is not going to take place at night. And the group we're going before here, the Sanhedrin, they were charged to protect the Jewish faith. On the outer, you know, they got it all right. But on the inner, we know there's some issues there. It's the same leaders, same groups of people that wanted to see Christ crucified, and it's the same now seeking to have the power, to have the control. Do your homework on Isaiah 14 again, which we keep looking at, and remember where it all roots, the fall, Lucifer, and the fall. Now this group would be 70 men plus the high priest. This is the highest Jewish court. It would be the wealthiest. It would be the most educated. It would be the most powerful. It would be what we look on social media today and say, wow, they have it all together. They're the elite. They're the best. Fake news. Then we look and we see here Annas, and he was removed as high priest, AD 14. He's removed as the high priest by the Romans. And we have to remember at the time of Christ, within the culture there, the high priest would be appointed by the Romans. And he posed a political threat. So they removed him, but the Jewish people ultimately rejecting that Roman authority, they're going to be complicit, but guess what? They don't see him not as the high priest. They still see him as the high priest. Caiaphas, his son-in-law, he is the actual high priest at the time, and then John, the son of Annas, is the one who would succeed Caiaphas in AD 37. Just some context for him to know about this power group. This power group that seeks to stop God's hand. You can't stop God. You can't. Not going to happen. Now, what's interesting is the question they ask here in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Now, this would be a fair question that they could ask because they're anchoring it, they're grounding it in Scripture, but they're twisting it a little bit. And that we need to remember, that's what religion does. It uses the word of God to seek control, while relationship, on the contrary, is convicted by the word of God unto repentance, unto submission, unto empowerment through the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Now, what are they looking at? Turn to Deuteronomy 13 as the Scripture they would have in mind, the law that they would have in mind. If there arises among you, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, Deuteronomy 13, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you should put away the evil from your midst. There's a desire here, because remember, they reject Jesus Christ, King of Kings, 100% God, 100% man. And they have a desire to self-incriminate these two so that they can pronounce death to Peter and John. That's the adversary at hand. It's our first A, the adversary right there at hand. But look at the answer. Then Peter, filled with the what? Who? Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. In this moment, being filled with the Holy Spirit, turn with me or look up on the screen, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 20. Remember what our Savior said. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. The Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So we see here this filling of the Holy Spirit. Each time the Greek comes up here in Acts of this filling of the Holy Spirit, it's an empowerment to do God's work and will. That's where, when we've talked about the abuses of the Holy Spirit we see today, it gets tangled a mess, because the Holy Spirit in context for the church today is about what's the show? What are we going to do today? What's the spectacle? Come on, give it to me. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. He's there to empower us to do the work that we're called to as ambassadors for the ministry of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled to God. There's only one way to do it, through Jesus Christ. And when we see this, we also recognize, filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? He's being filled afresh. He's being filled afresh again and again. It's not just the day of Pentecost. Boom, that's the only filling. Don't talk about being filled with the Spirit. It's done. No, it's not. We need to be filled afresh to do what he calls us to do. And through the Spirit of God, he has no fear. Remember, we've talked about where we saw how Peter was hiding when confronted before. And right now, he is not hiding. There's no fear. And he shifts to put them on trial. Look at what he says here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well?" Listen, this miracle we did, it's a good deed. It's not a crime. "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let it be known, the name that you used to ridicule," because remember they knocked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" They ridiculed that name whom you crucified, the name of power that you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, because death could not hold him. By him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he quotes in verse 11, Psalm 118, 22, talking of the cornerstone. In the Old Testament, when rock would come up, it would be God. Think of Daniel 2, when we see the rock and the coming Messiah's coming reign and king and rule. He points to this fact. This is the cornerstone, and you rejected him. And furthermore, realize he's the only name that can bring salvation. Furthermore, realize he is the only way. He gives it all in just that little bit. It's a Holy Spirit courage. It's a confidence. It's a power. There's no fear. And he calls him out. Kind of, if he was today, he'd be like, "Listen, y'all, your religion ain't going to save you. Sorry, it's only Jesus. Your religion can't save you." The Greek there, all that, is only 92 words. He puts forth all of that to the people. And then we see that's the answer given in Christ. The Spirit-filled answer anchors and relies on Christ. Then we see how the adversary answers. Take a look, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." So we see here, they can see this boldness. They recognize, whoa, there's a courage in him. And you got to think, that really probably gave them a little bit of that. They were probably a little rattled in that moment to realize, whoa, okay, usually when we say, you just do. People just do. We're in control. Whoa, you're coming at us. And then they go and they take that little dig because they're like, look at this boldness, but they're uneducated. They're untrained. And there's a marvel that they've been with Jesus. And we continue to see, and seeing the men who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You can't take away the work of God in a life. You can't take it away. You can't make it disappear. The transformative work that Jesus Christ does in a life, it's there. You can't take it away. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." It's real. It happened. "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So what's interesting is we see the reality in this as we look at what can't stop and won't stop. We see what happens when you're in the flesh. Your desire to feed the flesh can't stop, and you won't stop feeding the flesh because their desire is control. Their desire is to take them down. They see this boldness. They're not going to stop. Because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. So they're going to keep moving forward. But guess whose plan overtakes and always wins? God's. His plan always wins. And we have to ask ourselves as we're on the road, am I in the flesh? Am I in the Spirit? You want a checklist? Go to Galatians 5 and look at your actions. Are they bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Or are they the works of the flesh? And we see here that they send them out. They meet in a little posse. It's almost as though, okay, if we meet, you know, we're strong, we're going to get it. No posse can beat God. No posse can beat God. And they have a limited religious perspective. Because notice, they marvel and they realize they had been with Jesus. It's a very limited religious perspective because they've got to realize they are with Jesus. He indwells through the Spirit of God. And then we see they judge their credentials. They didn't go to the rabbinical training. They're not trained in all this. Yet he knows the scriptures better than they did because he was with Jesus. 3 years, 24/7 with him. Now, I'm not ever knocking study, but I love what one of our elders once said. Seminary does not a pastor make. Seminary does not a pastor make. There's a calling. There's discipleship. There's being with Jesus. And then we see how Peter approaches it. Scripture. Scripture in the battle. Now they are aware, as we just read, they see the miracle that took place. They know that it can't be denied, but they're still going to try to take control. So they say, let's give them a big wag in the finger, and that'll teach them if we don't do that again. They think it's going to go somewhere. I remember when we had a student at one of the boarding schools I was at who was on fire for the Lord, and they really weren't a fan and were trying to bother it. And finally, in one faculty meeting, he said, I just want to let y'all know something. You can't stop the fire of God. He's going to keep talking about Jesus. You can't stop it. Well, he needs to be quiet. Can't stop the name of Jesus. Man's plans can't stop it. He is the name above all other names. Do you cherish the name of Jesus? Do you cherish the name of Jesus? That's why I have been on, of late, the reminder, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't use it lightly. Don't use it in jokes and in, knock it off. Cherish the name of Jesus. Cherish his name. Now, what's interesting, if they really wanted to fight this battle, they could have done something, dispute and disprove the resurrection. That's all they needed to do. But we see they don't do it. And I love when folks try to do that today, because if you try to dig and disprove, you're going to end up believing. You're going to end up believing. Can't stop, won't stop. The flesh of man seeking control, as they're doing here, tries to play God. And that's why I brought up Isaiah 14, because we see there, I will be like the Most High. So that same prideful action. So we see the response here from Peter and John now. So they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Because they think as though they can control God. We're telling you, you can't use that name. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. If it's supposed to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Can't stop it. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them. Why? Because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. You cannot stop the glory of God. And remember, we looked at this verse, for the man was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And that's an important detail to remind you, person in the room waiting on the Lord, trust his perfect timing. I will say it again. Trust his perfect timing. We talked when we looked at this lame man, Jesus probably walked by him. He's there 40 years. But God knew the perfect timing to let this healing take place, that it could be used for what is taking place right now. Saints, we're not always going to understand why God allows certain things to happen. We're not always going to get it. I'm living that right now with my sister's heart attack. We're not always going to get it, but I'm going to tell you something. He's never surprised, and he's in control, and he has a purpose that is greater, and that's why we are called to trust and obey. And we see here in their response, guess what they say? God's law is always over man's law, period. God's law always over man's law, period. This is something we see throughout Scripture. Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1, verse 18. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Notice where the fear came for the midwives, okay? Because in this reality, the decree's been made. Man's law has said it. Kill them. But they fear God over man. And they do not acquiesce to man to protect themselves. They fear God. They obey God. They trust God. Where are you with that? If law comes to pass next week, you cannot worship Jesus Christ in North Carolina or in this country. Where are you with that? You can do it privately, but you can't do it publicly. We don't want you Christians out and about in public. Just do it privately. Do it privately. And no praying with each other in public either. Where are you with it? Where are you with it? If the law requires you or asks of you to do something that explicitly goes against the word of God, are you in or not? Are you in or not? And notice here, they know the crowds are going to speak up. God's been glorified. Again, no attempt can stop God's glory, God's plan. And you're either walking in the flesh on the road or you're in the spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're going to not want to stop feeding the flesh. And if you're walking in the spirit, you're going to not want to stop walking in the work of his spirit. So there's the adversary. There's the answers, either in the flesh or in the spirit. And there's an action that now takes place. An action that we all need. Verse 23. Because it didn't work, right? They tried to push them away and they go. It's not like they go. You don't see. And Peter and John left cowering in fear, crying to one another, what do we do? No. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They know they're in the center of God's will. So look what they do next. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They go, imagine this. They're like, listen, we went to the top of the top and we told them, you got to be saved by Jesus. That's an exciting moment. It's an exciting moment. Every single thing. And they, you know, they warned us and they did this and, you know, we might get killed. But we told them. We gave the gospel. Can you say that? Can you say that no matter what, saints, you gave the gospel? You pointed people to the way, the truth, and the life? The time is now, saints. The trumpet could sound right now. I would be thrilled, but let's be real. Are you being obedient to point people to Jesus? So they tell them all this, and then look what the action is. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. We have actions. Our actions is going to be a vice or something we want to do. But notice the action here, prayer. The action wasn't persecution comes. We went, we gave him Jesus. Oh, this was hard. Can you get me a drink? I need a beer. This was rough. No, that's not the action. The action is prayer. The church today has lost the value of prayer. I really believe the church today has lost the value of prayer. But they did not in the early church. They hear the actions of what took place, and it propelled them to prayer. Think of your prayer life. Is your prayer life propelled onto your knees from your faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just about, you know, I really hope that we get that new house. I really want that nice car. I really want the da-da-da-da-da. Not knocking, going to the Lord, but where are you going to him and what for? They raise their voice to God with one accord. It's a singular voice, meaning individuals praying. It's like we talk about in House of Prayer. As somebody's praying, listen. And if the Lord leads you to add something to that, or scripture or word of knowledge or whatever, share it. But it's orderly. And it's one accord. We've talked of that. It's the heart, mind, all towards him. Because we got to realize something, saints. Division robs spiritual power from God. Division in the body of Christ. Their action is prayer. And look where the prayer begins. Verse 24, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. It starts with the God of creation. It starts once they say that Lord. The word Lord there points to the slave and master relationship. It starts with worship. It starts with a posture in prayer. I am a slave to Jesus. What's your heart posture when you pray? What's your heart posture when you pray? They lift his sovereignty up. They lift that he is the God of creation. Do your prayers start at who he is? Do your prayers start with worship? Do your prayers start with who he is, who you are? I am just a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the God of creation. You are sovereign. You are over all. You know why we start the prayer there? It reminds us who's in control. And there's a comfort in reminding yourself who is in control. And who by the mouth of your servant David, Psalm 2, go back and listen to it if you weren't with us. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Psalm 2, when we looked at it, we reminded ourselves this is a messianic psalm pointing to the millennial reign. But he brings it into the prayer to point to the fact the heathen is the Gentile, the rulers are Pilate and the Jewish leaders and the people are the Israelites. And everybody is responsible for Christ on the cross because we're all sinners. Every single one of us. But notice scripture at the center of the prayer. Is scripture involved in your prayer time? Is scripture involved in your prayer time? We need to have scripture in the center of prayer. And when we see in verse 29, look on their threats and grant to your servant. Verse 27. Truly against your holy servant whom you anointed and that he purposed beforehand. There's a pointing to the sovereignty of God. We have to have that in our prayers. And then now the responsibility of us. This is an important thing to see in the prayer that is prayed by these believers in this moment. There's a balance of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And we need that balance too in our prayer life. Because if it's just he's sovereign, I don't have to do anything. He's in control, he ain't going to do nothing. And then if you go on the other extreme, I declare, not going to work. You've got to have balance. You've got to have balance. Guess what that means, saints? Ain't about you. And you got to surrender and trust. And that's a sweet place to be. Because who are you trusting? The God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who is greater to trust? And we see the prayer now. Verse 29, now Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants deliverance. No, they don't ask actually for deliverance. That with all boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It's not a prayer for deliverance. It's not a prayer preaching. You know, you hear those prayers sometimes where a scripture comes up, but now the person's preaching the scripture. And you're kind of like, are you praying or are you teaching right now? What's going on? Or it's not that prayer where we're going through, and I've talked about this sometimes, where you're giving every single detail. Johnny had a hat on, and that hat was purple, and I wondered why he bought the purple hat. And then he went to the store, and the store was out of milk, and we didn't know what to do. That's not the prayer here. God knows all the details. Thank you, Lord. He knows all the details. We can cover a lot more prayer if we leave the details to the Lord God Almighty. We can cover a lot of ground. Leave it to Him. He is sovereign. He is in control. And it's a prayer that rests in that. And guess what the prayer says? Give us more of what brought us to our knees in the first place. Give us more. Is that your prayer? Lord, give me more persecution. I want it. I'll tell you, that's not my prayer. But I want to learn to pray like that. Because that's got to be our prayer. Your will be done. That's what that prayer is. Your will be done. It's a boldness. They ask for a boldness to preach Christ. And then they ask for these signs and wonders. That's asking to be His hands and feet. They're not asking, help us to start the Peter and John healing ministry. No, they're asking, we want your name lifted. We want you glorified. And then look at the result of that prayer. The place where they assembled together was shaken, shaken at the power of God. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Another reminder, you need a filling afresh. Don't buy the news that some will say, don't talk about that Holy Spirit that way. He came on Pentecost and that's that. You don't need to talk about the Holy Spirit anymore. No, you do actually, and you need a filling afresh so that you can be empowered to do the work of God, and there are people going to hell, and the bride of Christ needs a filling afresh to go forth with the gospel. Amen? Amen. So we need to make sure we're doing that. And they want to preach with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what comes forth from this. And then when we go to the next section next week, you're going to see that there's more grace from God in their unity. As a result of this, the early church prayed. As I looked at this passage this week, I wondered, what would Peter and John think of our Western commercialized comfort and me-centric Christian churches today? I wonder what they would think. I do, I really do, because if you think about the arresting they faced, the persecution that they faced, and then you come to the church today, and it's not what, I'm grateful for this body of believers, but you go so many places and it's more about, oh, well, why'd they do that song? The coffee is a little bitter. I don't know that I like that paint. I thank the Lord this is a church that praises. May we never leave that. But we still have to search our hearts, brothers and sisters, and make sure we don't ever do that. And we got to realize we need to pray. As an under-shepherd, as the pastor, you'll hear, I want to serve, I feel called, I have this calling, and now I'm at this place where it's like, hold up, you coming to prayer? Well, you know, I got to fit. Hold up, are you coming to prayer? Because we've got to understand something. Prayer is ministry. Prayer is ministry. Prayer is the lifeline of the bride of Christ. I love that we call Wednesday the prayer that we do before service, engine room prayer. Remember when we visited and I heard that the first time, I was like, whoa, that's so real, because like prayer is the engine. You need that prayer, the fire, the motor going, that folks go forth. I've witnessed the power of prayer. Wednesday prayer, when everyone gathered around, laid hands on me and prayed, there was a strength from the prayer of the saints. We've seen the power of prayer when we prayed for Pastor David and Dan in India. Look at what was going down. We're talking, I don't remember how far. They were not too far from 30 miles, maybe less than that, from what took place. But the power of prayer. Spurgeon said, when they talked to him about the success and all that was going on, and as an under-shepherd, my people pray for me. We need prayer. Because there's an adversary. There's answers that we're each going to have in those responses, and we need an action, and that action needs to be prayer. Am I going to see you tonight at House of Prayer? It's a question I have. Am I going to see you at House of Prayer? Prioritize the time with the Lord. And it's not saying you got to every single week or whatnot, but be there. Be there. Come together in prayer, because we need it. We need to pray. We need to pray. Because I truly believe the bride of Christ today has to pray as a church, not play church. We need to pray as a church. How are you serving? How is he leading you? Where is he refining you? What is the trial? And will you pray? Because I believe the Lord wants to really work the hearts of this body, and the time is now. We can't get lost chasing the world. We need the action in prayer. In the early time, it was about poverty and persecution, poor in spirit. Today, it's about your personal and prosperous life. Let's go back to the roots. Another moment of seeing how the Lord ordains the things. Set lists get sent out. And I didn't realize this until this morning when I'm praying on the message. I was like, whoa, the Lord's nudging to talk about prayer. We're singing Battle Belongs. When I fight on my knees. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Is your can't stop, won't stop prayer. We're on the road and we got to take a pit stop and check your AAA. Are you remembering there's only one adversary? Don't get lost in trying to make feuds with every single person. Are you checking the answers that are coming in your heart, soul, and mind, that they're rooted in Christ? And are you taking the action to go into prayer? Charge for this week is simple. Take the text, read it, and ask the Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What would you have me do? Now, before we close in prayer, I ask you a question. Who needs prayer? Who's got something going on today? Who's got a trial? Who's got a situation? And it doesn't mean you then have to share all the details, because guess who knows the details? The Lord. But who's going through something that needs prayer? Stand up. Who's going through something that needs prayer? Stand up. Stand up if you need prayer. And saints in the house, you see the people standing, go pray with them. Saints in the house, you see someone standing, go pray with them. Go pray. Go pray. And if you aren't standing, and if you're not praying with someone, sit and pray for the prayers that are being lifted up. And may the song of this room right now be prayers up to the Lord God Almighty. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of the Lord with boldness. And I remind us, brothers and sisters, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that equips us, that comforts us, that teaches us. Spirit of the living God. Stand and sing. Fall afresh on me. Me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time in your house, Father God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for any who do not know you, that they would come to know you. They talk to someone here and ask, how do I surrender? How do I become a believer to then be filled with the Spirit of God? And for your saints here this day, Lord, fill them afresh. For Father, we thank you, Lord, for laying on the heart, Pastor David and Michelle, to come here, Lord, to start this work in Chapel Hill, Father God. And thank you for our transition, Lord. And Father, we just continue to say, what would you have us do? For there is work to be done here. There is work to be done in India and all over, Lord. But Father, we know we need to have you fill us afresh to do that work for your glory. So Lord, I pray, help us all this week to seek that filling afresh and to have open hands that say, Father, what would you have me do? In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a beautiful and blessed afternoon, and see some of you tonight.